Ignition, Chapter 11, Stage 10, Scaling. When I first started making above $10,000 per month in profit, life was good. I was comparing myself to people around me, and in all honesty, I was leagues ahead. I didn't look at prices when shopping for food anymore, as I was earning more in 1 or 2 months than most people earned in a year. I also started to get a little bit of an ego. But when you're at this stage, you'll often start to network with people who are doing even better than you, which quickly knocks your ego back down to earth. In my case, this was joining a supercar owners club, filled with people making over $50,000 per month, $100,000 per month, and even $1 million plus per month. Suddenly, your six-figure income doesn't seem so great. Then you want more. But you realize there are a few things stopping you from achieving that same high six-figure or seven-figure income. The first is the lack of time available in the day to get everything done. If you found yourself working later than you'd planned, and or saying, "If only there were more hours in the day, I could," then that's a major symptom of this problem. The second bottleneck is the lack of expertise. If you found yourself creating subpar graphics, website pages, videos, or anything else where you feel it's only just good enough, which inevitably limits the results you're getting, then this one is for you. Procrastinating items on your to-do list also falls under this category, as that's a symptom of not being truly excited or passionate about that particular topic. Both can be solved by focusing on your core competencies and finding another way to get the other stuff done. You aren't good at everything, and you don't have to be. Plus, if you try to do everything yourself without any help, you're forever going to get the results you've always gotten. So, to fix this, list all your business's tasks in 3 categories. 1. What are you good at? 2. What do you personally need to do? I.e., realistically, nobody else can do this but you. 3. Which tasks are left over? Here's a quick one for me. Category 1. What am I good at? 1. Content creation. 2. Advertising. 3. Enrolling clients on the phone. 4. Creating good marketing angles or hooks. 5. Stroking cats. Category 2. What do I personally need to do? 1. Content creation. But realistically, this can be outsourced too. 2. Reply to personal emails. Category 3. Which tasks are left over? 1. Graphic design. 2. Web page design. 3. Customer support. 4. SEO. 5. Writing sales copy. 6. Video creation, recording, editing, etc. Then your first focus is to find somebody else to do the tasks in Category 3, as these are the current bottlenecks stopping you from growing your business's income. You can also have someone else take over the tasks in Category 1 that aren't in Category 2, e.g. advertising in the previous example. But this is really just to free up more time in your daily schedule. Now, hiring people doesn't always necessarily mean renting out office space and filling it up with employees. Personally, this idea never appealed to me, as it would mean getting out of bed before 9 a.m. every day and having to deal with extra stresses in my daily life, which are the exact things I created this online business to avoid. Not to mention the additional costly overheads that come with managing people in an office environment. So, instead, I prefer to hire and manage my employees online. There are 2 ways you can do this. The first way is to hire a freelancer and create a good relationship with them in the long term so they're able to work on your tasks and get them done quickly for a reasonable price. This is usually the best option to start with, as you won't know how much work you'll have for them until they actually start. And it wouldn't make sense to pay someone for 40 hours per week if they only have 5 hours of work to do per week. So therefore, hiring a freelancer is usually a better option for inconsistent workloads or to be used as and when you need them. I found Upwork.com, which is UP work.work.com to be a great place to hire people, as it allows you to see people's previous work and their reviews from previous employers, so you know they live up to their promises. Simply post a job with as much detail in the job description as possible, then weed out the amateurs based on the reviews from their previous work. Don't hire the cheapest candidates, as these are often cheap for a reason. Hire cheap, hire twice. Instead, you should focus on hiring people who speak the same language as you. It goes without saying, but you'd be surprised by the people some of my clients have hired in the past, have experience with exactly the same tasks you're looking to hire out, and have at least a 4-star rating. It may be difficult to narrow down to one candidate if you have a good application pool, so in this scenario, I'll usually give all of them a small paid task to do. Depending on how cruel you're feeling, you can make this easy or hard to accomplish, but the harder tasks will usually make the best candidates rise to the top. Just be sure this is a small task and the pay is adequate for what you're asking of them. Otherwise, you can offend some people as they'll think you're taking advantage of them. I've hired a video editor, a conversion rate optimization or CRO expert, a programmer, and an SEO expert this way. And they're still working for me to this very day, as and when I need them. The second way is to hire somebody in-house, i.e. they are primarily focused on working with your company and are classed as your employee. Typically, I'll do this once I've had some experience with a freelancer or when the task needs a large chunk of time per week. A good example of this is a customer service manager. To begin with, I was replying to all my customer service tickets and emails myself, which was not only very time-consuming, usually taking around 2 to 3 hours per day out of my schedule, but also not the best use of my time, nor good for building my branding or positioning. So, when a customer service manager got in touch with me, making things easy, I jumped at the chance to hire him, and he's been good with us ever since. Now, I personally read all my customer support tickets and emails to keep on the same level as my prospects and customers, taking around 15 minutes per day. But my customer support manager replies to them. And I'm sure I'll be hiring other customer support representatives in the future when he gets overworked too. However, you may not be lucky enough to have someone with great skills approach you, so you'll most likely have to either A. use Upwork.com or Freelancer.com to hire a freelancer to begin with, then after they've been doing good work for a while, ask if they want to work exclusively for you on a set monthly contract. B. Place a job listing on Craigslist. Yes, I've seen it work before. Or another popular hiring website in your country, e.g. Indeed.com, Monster.com, LinkedIn.com, and so on. Or C. Send an email to your email list explaining the available position, what it entails, and how to get in touch with you about it. I usually start with option C, as the people on your newsletter will most likely already know a lot about your business and the information it teaches, so the training process will usually become much easier. After that, I'll usually go to option A. Then it's just a matter of doing the usual sifting and sorting process, speaking to the best candidates, and setting up informal interviews with them on Skype or similar. Just be sure you've chosen the right candidate, as making the wrong hire can be a real pain in the backside. I once hired what seemed like a competent, polite lady to speak to our coaching program applicants, following a very loose script, as explained earlier in this book. In our interview, she spoke clearly and really impressed me with what she had to say. But when it came to actually speaking to our coaching program applicants, after listening to the recordings of her phone calls, she suddenly got really nervous and sounded like she was making a 911 call. Needless to say, the clients didn't buy, and we had to hire someone else. But we probably lost about 4 to 5 new coaching clients, $12,000 to $15,000, because of that bad hire. You can't always avoid bad hires though, it's just a matter of doing the best you can with the experience you have. Hire slow and fire fast, usually after 3 "oh come on" moments. After you've found someone, training them can take a while, depending on the task they'll be doing and their level of experience. I usually take people on who have a medium level of experience and skills, so their pay rate isn't at the executive level, but I can still train them to reach our expected high standards. As they already have some experience, it's often pretty easy for people to get settled in and learn the ropes. We usually do any kind of teaching within a go-to meeting room or Skype call, making sure to record the sessions so they can look back on them in the future if necessary. If you find yourself needing to hire a lot of people for the same role, for example, a customer support representative or a salesperson to enroll your coaching clients, it's often a giant time saver to record a video course with what you teach them one-on-one and give that to them instead. After they've consumed the material, give them a quiz to double-check what they've learned and ask if they have any questions before starting. They should be 100% clear on what's expected of them before starting the role, not learning as they go along, as you want to minimize any bad customer experiences which could negatively impact your business. For example, I was once in a bar with my friends for New Year's Eve, and a newly hired waiter there said we could have a bottle of champagne for free because we bought so many drinks and places at two of their tables. We were thrilled, so we celebrated with the champagne and enjoyed our night. About 2 hours later, the manager came to our table and said we had to pay for the bottle of champagne right now because the first newly hired waiter had made a mistake. But the truth is, we wouldn't have agreed to the champagne if we'd have known it wasn't free, as we already had too many drinks to go around. Needless to say, we won't be going back there again. One small mistake from a new hire, one huge negative impact on a potential long-term customer who spends way more than he probably should on nights out with friends. This experience did have a positive impact on me too, though, as we now always make sure to live up to all our promises, so my customers don't have to experience the same disappointment. But all hires aren't created equal. You should hire people for some roles before others, as these high-value roles will have the biggest impact on your business's bottom line. Namely, these are the roles you should hire for first, depending on how urgent they are to you when you're at this stage of your business's growth. 1. Customer Service Manager. Answers all customer support tickets, emails, and social media messages or posts asking you questions. This is often born out of necessity, but they will often persuade prospects sitting on the fence to buy your products and services just by answering a few simple questions. So, they often pay for themselves and maintain your good relationships with your audience. 2. Salesperson. Organizes and conducts the enrollment calls for your premium offers. I say salesperson lightly, as they're more of a conversation facilitator rather than somebody who sells through pressure. 3. Copywriter. If your sales pages don't convert well, your business isn't going to stay around for very long. So, a copywriter is a necessity if you don't have several years to learn how to write persuasive sales copy for your paid offers. They usually charge a flat fee for each sales page or sales video script you'd like written, and they aren't cheap. But the results always pay for the initial fee multiple times over. For example, the sales page copy for my $27 offer cost me $3,000 to get written. But so far, that exact copy has allowed me to make over $1.6 million in sales. So, you'll get a pretty good ROI if you choose the right person. 4. Graphics Designer. Another way to bump up your conversion rates is to make your sales pages more visually appealing. Getting a freelance graphic designer to spruce up our sales pages is now standard procedure for every new offer we create, because it always increases our conversion rate by a considerable amount, sometimes double what it was before. I repeat, not once has it made things worse. Again, a wise investment if you hire the right person. Now, of course these hires aren't free. You need to find the money out of your profits to pay for them. Not to mention, there are plenty of other costs at this stage of your business with the new tools, advertising possibilities, and more. I'll always remember the scene in the movie Limitless, where the main character has discovered a pill that makes him much smarter while he's on it, and uses it to bank big on the stock exchange. But using money to make money is all about what you have to start with. So, he finds a way to increase the initial investment to make the multiplied investment much higher. Smart move. Now, in the movie, the character gets his money from a shady loan shark. That would be a terrible move for you, and I wouldn't suggest that. But instead, there are plenty of other ways to raise capital without losing your shirt. Before I go on, you should know that nobody else talks about this stuff, because I feel that they don't like being put at risk or being held responsible. So, just be sure that if you are going to follow this advice, you always do it sensibly and don't ever, ever take any uncalculated risks, especially those based on emotional thinking. Plus, you agree to not hold me responsible for anything negative that happens. You can thank me for the positive results if you want to, though. What most people do is start to look for investors, but personally, I'm not a fan of giving away large chunks of my business when I can find the money and expertise elsewhere, while keeping 100% of the business for myself. So, the first way to raise capital for your business is to use credit cards specifically created for businesses. These often start with a low, manageable line of credit and increase with your spending over time. My personal favorite is the American Express Business Gold Card, as you get reward points for everything you spend. Just by putting my advertising spend on here, I was able to get free flights from the UK to Mexico within a few months. It's a charge card though, so just be sure you keep an eye on your spending and pay it off in full every month. Although getting a few extra $1,000 will help, it's not going to drastically change what you can do in your business. That's where the bigger opportunities come into play. In our business, all of our sales come through our PayPal merchant account, which gives us access to a feature called PayPal Working Capital. It's essentially a low-interest cash advance for your business, calculated based on your sales volume and amount. The more sales you have per month, the higher your allowable cash advance can be. I've used this service to acquire $20,000 in funding without having to give away parts of my business to investors or anyone else, which later turned into $100,000 in sales. After that first cash advance was paid off, I used it to acquire $60,000 in funding, which later turned into over $300,000 in sales. I'll show you how later in this chapter. However, this service has a lot of restrictions based on your location in the world, how much of your business's profit goes through PayPal, and your PayPal account's standing. If you have your account limited or banned temporarily for policy violations, you can usually kiss this feature goodbye for 2 to 3 years. Yes, that long. So, this may or may not apply to you, but definitely worth looking into. Another option is using crowdfunding websites such as CapitalOnTap.com, FundingCircle.com, iWalker.co.uk, and similar. These are all services I used in the UK, and therefore may not be available in the USA or elsewhere, but worth looking into. However, Funding Circle definitely accepts applications from the USA and is probably the best place to start out of them all. Simply complete an application form stating what you'll use the money for, and their team of investors will loan you money over the agreed amount of time, in exchange for receiving the interest payment from the loan. The investors get a higher interest rate than having their money sit in a bank account somewhere, and the business owners are able to use the new funds to grow their business. It's a win-win. When you get this new funding, one way or another, it's firstly exciting, but then it dawns on you. What specifically should I use this money on? In my experience, it should be spent on things that speed up your scaling or allow you to multiply profit more effectively. But here's how we use the funding to transform our business from making around $10,000 to $20,000 per month to consistently over $70,000 per month, in this order. 1. Purchased an advertising coaching program. Although we were using Facebook ads profitably, I felt it wasn't consistent and our results would always vary from week to week. We also found that our campaigns would saturate quickly, meaning we were always having to come up with new advertising copy, images, and so on. So, we purchased a premium level Facebook ads course from Jason Hornung and Justin Brook, two traffic titans in the online marketing world. We learned so much we didn't know before, and we felt like we truly mastered the Facebook ads network, allowing us to create more effective ads and ultimately get a larger return on our ad spend than we were getting before. 2. Purchased new video equipment. Previously, I was shooting our videos on a Canon 50D DSLR camera. Not terrible, but the lack of other video equipment to go with it made our videos look less than ideal. The audio wasn't great, the lighting was poor, and they looked like they were recorded in my grandma's basement. So, I bought a few professional lights, a more sturdy camera tripod, a new microphone for recording videos on my laptop, a Rode NT-USB, a new shotgun microphone for recording videos to the DSLR camera, which was a Sennheiser MK600, a sturdy stand for both new microphones, a green screen, an auto cue, just one to be used with an auto cue app on my iPhone, Adobe Premiere Pro, and a few other small purchases. Although this didn't exactly come to thousands of dollars, I was hesitant to purchase them before because I felt I could use our existing budget better elsewhere, like on ads. So, gaining the new capital helps me to overcome that mental barrier and finally take the leap. Now, we had a way to look more professional on video, increasing the authority status and credibility we had with our audience, instead of looking like a part-time operation where I could flee the country at any minute. 3. Hired a conversion rate optimization, or CRO for short, expert. We analysed our business for the biggest opportunities and discovered that although we were doing well with split testing the most important parts of the funnel, we could be doing better with our analytics for every step in our sales funnel. After all, every step has an impact on the next step. So, we hired a full-time CRO expert to set up our analytics properly so we had the full picture of what was going on with our funnels. He also created visual flowcharts of all our funnels, including visitor and conversion rate data for the last 30 days, updated automatically every day, allowing us to see which steps of the funnel were leaking results. Ultimately, this led to an extra bump in conversion rates across the board for all of our funnels, getting us a larger ROI from our traffic. 4. Hired a graphic designer. Although our sales pages were converting pretty well, they still looked a little bland, and I wasn't really in a hurry to show them off to new prospects. So, we hired a direct response graphics designer on a freelance as and when basis to spruce up all of our pages. We started with the entry-level front-end offer, which increased our conversion rate from 4% to 6%. After that, we had him do the same for the upsell pages, resulting in another noticeable lift in their conversion rates. Then we did the same for the premium offer sales pages and application form pages, which not only increased our application form submissions, but also increased the quality of people who were applying, meaning we had a lot more clients we enjoyed working with. 5. Increased our advertising budget. Usually, you have to wait 30 plus days for an advertising campaign to make you a profit. Then you reinvest that profit back into more ads and so on. However, this process has a super long lead time, and it can take a while to receive the budget you need to scale up. So, we injected some of the funds we acquired into our ad campaigns, and our ads, previously turning $100 in ad spend per day into $300 in sales per day after the lifetime of the ad campaign, are now turning $500 in ad spend per day into around $1,600 in sales per day in a much shorter time frame. Also due to our new advertising skills and increased conversion rates in our sales funnels. Notice here how none of these purchases were new cash siphons or loopholes. Anything advertised as such is just another way to take your money and isn't a long-term strategy for a successful business. Plus, none of the purchases were for different business models, because as soon as you go into a different business model, you're not only having to start again from scratch, but you're also dividing your time and resources between two things, instead of focusing everything on one thing. So always stick to one thing until you've hit your big bucket list type goals, and only then should you start working on something else too, if you want to. Ultimately, the key here is to invest the money wisely in long-term assets for your company, and preferably something that is going to directly generate an increase in your profits. When done right, you can make back the money you've acquired in profits pretty quickly, then pay back the funds early, minimizing the amount of interest you pay. This is where you go from a one-person startup into a fully-fledged business. Everything you do is now about getting a positive ROI or having some kind of impact on sales. You reinvest some of your profits back into the business to grow it further and so on. By doing this, you'll also start to attract attention. Not all of it good. Some people will always offer to help you and make bold promises, but few will actually deliver on their promises. Case in point, at this stage of my business, I thought it would be a great idea to have somebody run my Facebook ads campaigns for me. After all, this particular agency, no names mentioned, was always showcasing their incredible results from their other high-profile clients and said they could do the same for me, despite having a high-risk business model when it comes to Facebook ads, due to their entry-level employees wrongly interpreting my stuff as get-rich-quick or MLM topics, which are against their advertising policies. But they said they'd be fine with it. At first, I had my doubts, but they assured me they knew what they were doing and sent me some pretty positive expectations. So I hired them with a 3-month contract at $3,000 per month plus around $3,000 per month in ad spend. While working with them, I kept my own campaigns running at a massively reduced daily budget so I could compare the before and after results of their new campaigns versus mine in the hope of giving them a positive testimonial afterwards. Turns out that after 3 months of trying, they made a net loss of £8,711.17, around $11,100, while my campaigns made a net profit of £6,040, around $7,700. So, what was the expensive lesson learned here? At this stage, you know your business better than anyone. Any doubts that creep into your mind or bad gut feelings you get are just your past, present, and future consciousness raising a big red flag for you. In fact, scientists have said this gut feeling is your subconscious mind coming to a conclusion based on all the available and unavailable knowledge you have at that time. So listen to it. I didn't just lose around $11,100 by not listening to my gut, but I also lost 3 months of opportunities to grow my business myself, or with someone else who could actually deliver on their promises. So after that, I decided to start running Facebook ads for my clients to avoid them having to suffer the same fate. It's quite an origin story. And to me, that's what is the most valuable. Everything that happens in your business is either a learning experience for the future or an immediate leap forward for your progress, and sometimes both. But this self-awareness typically only starts to happen at this stage of your business, as you've had enough experience and acquired enough knowledge to raise both your marketing IQ and business IQ to a level which makes running and growing your online business effortless. Just think. You've acquired years of knowledge and experience and achieved in a few years what most people can only dream of in their entire lifetime. Not only that, but you'll now have a valuable asset, an online business that generates a profit for you whether you're working or not. A business that allows you to work whenever you want, wherever you want. such as right now. I'm writing this book after moving with my girlfriend from London to Mexico City for a change of scenery. The world is our oyster, and it can be yours too. But you only have your hard work, dedication, and perseverance to thank for this. Your advertisements are now being shown 24/7 to people all over the world who need help. If everything is done correctly, your ideal prospects see these ads and buy your products without hesitation. Your automated systems ensure these new customers have a great experience with you and change their lives for the better. Because of the great experience they've had with you, your customers buy more of your products and become loyal fans. After all, it's always a win-win for everyone involved. We now come full circle, as the life I described in the very first chapter becomes a reality. Your daily life involves helping your coaching clients, creating new content at least once per week to generate a natural desire to work with you, and creating new products to cover topics your loyal customers are begging you to help them with. Oh, and not to mention checking your sales stats and feeling so happy to have reached this point. You will have the occasional battle to fight, but that's just life's way of determining if you're worthy of what you've achieved. So, show it who's boss, hold on to what's rightfully yours, and keep moving forward to improve more people's lives all over the world. Keep growing, keep learning, keep fighting. You are unstoppable.